So we are now in part 14 of the promises of Yahweh. We want to look to Yahshua the Messiah, who is both the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that started our faith, and he's the one that's going to finish it. And who, for the joy that was set before him, endured all the things that he went through. Imagine that. All just for that joy. That joy set before him. So we also have a joy that is set before us that can enable us and strengthen us to endure our own personal staros, our own personal stake, despising the shame, and we will sit down at the right hand of Yahshua. It says, he who overcomes, he will sit with me on my throne as I sat with my Father on his throne. And so here's some of the promises we have found so far. Number 23, if we are afflicted, abused, oppressed, violated, and vexed by others, Yahweh himself is also hurt and grieved and will hear our cry. Give us due justice. Regard the evils done to something done to him. Free us from oppression. Break the oppressor in pieces and deliver all the oppressed of the earth. Typos. The words of Yahweh and the Holy Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation are pure words like silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. He shall keep them and preserve them forever, and they are able to make us wise unto salvation. Teach us sound doctrine, reprove us, correct us, equip us for every good work, and enlighten our eyes, for they are altogether true and righteous. Number 25, Yahweh will teach us, guide us, give us wisdom, teach us right doctrine, make his words known to us, give us a good understanding, and help us to know the truth, for he knows how to give good gifts to his children. We will not be in want, because he will supply our every need according to his riches in glory by Messiah Yahshua. To test us, correct us, and refine us, our tests, trials, and tribulations and afflictions will be many, but Yahweh will deliver us out of them all. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. So some questions we're going to address in today's study. If Yahweh promises to give us the desires of our heart, why do some prayers not get answered in the way a person may want? How is keeping the Sabbath, proclaiming the Torah, and proclaiming the good news related to the above promise? How does observing the Sabbath keep a believer strong? What kind of prayer is a sick prayer? How can we say that Yahweh always gives believers the desires of their heart? The answer is yes, by the way. What does it mean to sow in tears and reap in joy? What is it like to be in Yahweh's presence? What typically happens to those who decide to openly and without fear share Yahweh's word with others? What happens to those who don't? How can we always be rejoicing, even in sorrow? How can we know if we are called in the ministry? And what is our created purpose in Messiah Yahshua? Important promises here. The full list of promises can be found at eliyahu.com/POY, Promises of Yahweh. And the list of promises are there, along with a link to the videos in which we discuss those specific promises. And we've got 13 up there right now. We'll be working on 14 starting today. So our next promise is, delight yourself also in Yahweh, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. This is a beautiful promise, very lovely promise from the word of Yahweh. Sometimes, though, this promise is quoted by so-called prosperity preachers, and they'll pervert it into turning Yahweh into some kind of genie-like idol that grants self-centered wishes. But if we take it for what it says, we see that there is a condition attached to it. The condition is to delight ourselves in Yahweh. That's the condition. Tried to give me so there. Delight ourselves also in Yahweh. And when you do that, then he shall give you the desires of your heart. And so we see the conditions are that we're a believer, and a believer will delight themselves in Yahweh. And he will give us our desires. Not because he is a genie-like idol that grants wishes, but because we love him and we love righteousness. And so how can we delight ourselves in Yahweh? Let's take a look here. There's actually a prophecy of the Messiah here in Psalm chapter 40. And the Messiah is actually speaking here, saying, I delight to do your will. Well, if you delight yourself in Yahweh, you will delight to do his will, right? Oh, my Elohim, and your law is within my heart. And there's another thing that happens. You delight to do his will, he'll place his law in your heart. And then it says, I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. So we have both the Torah and the good news here, the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Yahweh, you yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness that comes from the Messiah within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. And so he boldly proclaimed the truth of his righteousness. His righteousness is revealed in giving us righteousness through Messiah Yeshua. His righteousness is also revealed in his just, holy, right, and good commands that instruct us how to love him and how to love one another. And so in this, notice where the law is. It's in the heart, right? The law is in the heart. And the actions of the one who delights to do the will of Yahweh will be proclaiming the news with proclaiming the good news with unrestrained lips, declaring his faithfulness, declaring his salvation, and not concealing his loving kindness or his truth. Thy word is truth, right? So in this, we actually have a description of the life of the Messiah Yeshua, who proclaimed both the commandments and the gospel, the good news. The word gospel means good news. And this actually agrees with the Psalm 119. The Old Testament Psalm says, I long for your salvation, O Yahweh, and your law is my delight. So he desires both salvation. We know that comes through the grace of Yahweh. And he also desires Yahweh's commands, his Torah. So both are there. Also, if you really want to delight yourself in Yahweh, there is a precursor. There's something that we have to do first. Isaiah 58, verse 13 says, if you turn away your foot from or as a result of the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. This today, right now, this is his holy day. We have to respect it. And we have to call the Sabbath a delight. The holy day of Yahweh, honorable, and shall honor him not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor even speaking, and the Hebrew just reads yada yada, or words, idle words. Then what will happen? When you do these things, when you choose to call the Sabbath a delight, the day of Yahweh honorable, not do your own ways, not do your own pleasure, not speak your words, but you do all these things, what happens is you start to delight yourself in Yahweh. And he says, then I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth. You will be with him. With him. He's the one that rides on the high hills of the earth, right? I mean, you'll be with him and he will feed you with something. Very important. The heritage of Jacob, your father. You know what the heritage of Jacob is? That's eternal life. That's life forever. All this simply because you honor Shabbat. You honor the holy day. And listen, the mouth of Yahweh speaks, you better listen. Mouth of Yahweh speaks, you better listen. So the promise to delight yourself in Yahweh comes after you start to honor the Shabbat. So look back here. What's it say? Delight yourself in Yahweh. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Well, how do you delight yourself in Yahweh? Go forward here. You keep the Shabbat. Do these things, then you shall delight yourself in Yahweh. So, most of mainline Christianity hasn't even taken the first step toward delighting themselves in Yahweh. Sorry to say that. You see, the blessing of the Sabbath, listen, you have one day, and he deserves more than one day. Trust me, he made you, right? You have one day out of the week where you're not distracted by work, you're not distracted by other things that occupy your time during the week, and you can focus solely on your relationship with the most important person in the universe, the one who created you and holds your life and your breath in his hands. I'd say pretty good idea to have a good relationship with the one who did that, right? The front door of Christian churches is often a revolving door because people have an emotional conversion, but they fail to stand strong. But if we have one day out of the week where we can just withdraw ourselves from the world, all its influences, all the things that surrounding it, our work life, and concentrate on just one day that we're going to give to Yahweh to worship him, to honor him, to praise him, to pray, to study his word, to focus on spiritual things. Let me tell you, you do that, you will not fall away. You will be strong, and you will not walk in the front door of a congregation and walk right back out because you're back out in the world again. Because you have that one day. And I can tell you, this is what happens. I didn't keep the Sabbath growing up. I didn't. I started keeping the Sabbath when I was 19 years old. I was 19. And I can tell you that as the Sabbath, I kept it. Here's what happened. The Sabbath kept me. Take that time out for Shabbat. You keep the Sabbath will keep you. Not that the day is going to keep you, but because you're devoting that time to the Father and your relationship with him. The rest of the week, watch what happens. It goes a lot better. Because you're giving him what he's owed. He created the Sabbath at creation week, the seventh day. He sanctified it. He rested. And that very first day that he rested was the day he spent with Adam. He wants to spend that day with us. He wants to spend that day with us. In Jeremiah, Yahweh said, "Go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, by which the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, Hear the word of Yahweh, you kings of Judah, and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates. Thus says Yahweh, Take heed to yourselves, bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem." Talking about bringing work and business, like they're doing on the square right now. And Ava, I pray for them every time I go by. They're bringing burdens in to sell on the Shabbat. "Nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. But they did not obey, nor incline their ear, but made their necks stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. They didn't want to listen to that. It shall be, if you heed me carefully, says Yahweh, to bring no burden to the gates of the city on the Shabbat day, but hallow the Sabbath day and do no work on it. Watch what happens. Then shall enter the gates of this city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and horses, they and their princes, accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. Wow. If they had just kept the Shabbat, he would not have destroyed Jerusalem. You see, Yahweh knows. When you keep the Shabbat the way you're supposed to, you're going to be fed by him on the Sabbath, and that food will get you through the week. And you're fed by him spiritually on the Shabbat. It keeps you strong the rest of the week so you don't get weak and you don't fall away. I can tell you so many times, I had a rough week, but when that Shabbat came, set me right back on the right path. Set me right back where I needed to be. And like a light at the end of the tunnel, it's there waiting for me to reconnect with my Father. I'm telling you, Yahweh's telling you, if you keep the Sabbath, you will delight yourself in Yahweh. Because when you read his word, there's lots of things in there that are very delightful, that are very wonderful. Because his word will be sown in your heart, and his word will not return to him void. Just give him his day. My goodness, it's in the Ten Commandments. Written in stone with his own finger, signifying the eternity and finality. It's just as important as don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't steal, don't take his name in vain, don't worship an idol, don't covet your neighbor's possessions. It's just as important as all those things. Then you shall delight yourself in Yahweh, and I will cause you to ride on high hills of the earth and feed you with eternal life. Wow. Just keep the Shabbat, and the Shabbat will keep you. Watch it. It'll happen. So now you understand what it means to delight yourself also in Yahweh, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. When you start to keep that Shabbat, and that Shabbat starts to keep you, your desires start to change. The things that you formerly desired aren't all that interesting anymore. And now your desires shift from something carnal and worldly, and your attention is on that tiny little dot of time that we're in, and now your attention is on spiritual things. Be spiritually minded, therefore, is life and peace. And so the desires that he's talking about here that you're going to have when you delight yourself in Yahweh are holy desires, good desires, righteous desires, not self-centered carnal desires. Examples. You will desire to give Yahweh honor and praise. You will desire to have eternal life. You will desire to be with him forever. You will desire to store up treasures in heaven. You will desire to live in a way that pleases him and loving one another. You will desire to proclaim his kingdom and his ways into all the earth. And you will desire that his will would be done above your own, recognizing he's far wiser than you are, and he knows the end from the beginning. And these are the desires of a believer in Yahweh. They're righteous desires. They're holy desires. They're good desires. None of it involves sick prayers. We're only talking about sick prayers. Well, James 4:2 says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and you war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that love or friendship with the world is enmity? Hatred with Elohim. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of Elohim and an adulterer or an adulteress. You know, the word translated amiss is also usually translated sick. As when Yahshua came and healed the sick, the word amiss is the Greek word translated sick. And so you ask and don't receive because you ask in a sick way, so that you are getting things that you want. Basically, the prosperity message. That's not our desire. A holy prayer comes from a holy person who has a priority story. A holy prayer speaks this way. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. What does it mean to ask things according to His will? Well, I'll provide an example. About 8 years ago, I prayed to Yahweh to provide a way for me to minister to the poor in the community. Almost entire ministry was online. Well, Scripture already says it's His will for us to do that. It's not a mystery. It already says in the Bible He wants us to minister to the poor where we live. That's what it says. And so what I was doing was I was asking something according to His will. And what happened? He opened the door, He provided the funding, He provided the people, and now we're able to feed people, clothe people, help people with their finances when they're in a struggle, in a jam, and provide for people who are in need. I asked according to His will, and He provided the way for it to happen. See, all I did was ask a way for Him to do something He already said that we should do. The only question was, how are we to do that? He heard the petition that was asked. I'm not anything special. I'm just a regular guy, really. Except we're just doing what's our duty to do. Yahweh says to do it, so we do. That doesn't make us anything more than unprofitable servants, really. So we're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, you know. Another example. Many, I could go on and on and on all day, really. About 27 years ago, I was seeing my family struggle when I wasn't there. I prayed for Yahweh to provide for me some way to work at home so I could spend time with my family. Well, it was already Yahweh's desire for a man to spend time with his family, especially if his family is not doing well when he's not there. He provided, about a year later, he provided a way for that to happen. And I started a business online, web hosting business, ran it for 5 years. I sold it after 5 years. I started another business called Progeny Products, where I sold health products and a brown recluse spike kit that one of the brothers here in the community just used about 20 minutes ago. He gave me the desires of my heart. I'm not anything great, but all of those were home-based businesses. I just ran it out of my house, you know. He saw I wanted to do His will. His law is in my heart. He provided a way for me to do it. That's what I'm talking about. When your desires are right, and they're righteous, and they're holy desires, and they're right desires, I'm sure many of you listening today could probably share testimony after testimony of how Yahweh has done the same for you. It's just the life of a believer. It's normal. But first, we delight ourselves in Yahweh by delighting to do His will, right? We store up His law in our hearts. We find out what His will is by reading His commandments, right? Especially on the Sabbath day, you're not distracted by work and other things, and your mind is singularly focused on understanding what He is trying to tell us. And then He grants you the desires of your heart, because Yahweh inspires your desires to be right desires that are according to His will. Now, if you ask something that we desire, we might think it's a really good idea. I'm sure Yahweh would be on board with this for sure. Seem like a good thing. Does he always grant it? No. Well, Tom, you just read that scripture. It says whatever, you know. Well, wait a minute. Remember, first of all, Yahweh doesn't always answer in the way you expect. In fact, you might think he's not answering it at all, when in reality he is. It's just not what you're expecting the way it's done. And so look for signs that it's your answer, but it's an answer going in a direction you weren't able to predict or even thought it would happen. And so you might think what you're asking for is something good and pleasing to him, but he's answering you. But you see, what you think is good for you isn't always what's good for you. I found that out too. See, you just got to trust his plan, and probably the most powerful, wise being in the universe pretty much knows what he's doing, right? I mean, he probably knows what he's doing. You don't have to go, do you know what you're doing? Of course he knows what he's doing, right? And many times I found myself wondering what in the world's going on. And then I realized later, if Yahweh had actually answered the way I was expecting it to be answered, or even answer what I thought he should do at that moment, because I thought that was a good desires, I was either maybe not ready to handle it. I thought I was, but I wasn't. Or it actually would have been detrimental to my spiritual growth. And so, again, trust his plan. Trust his plan. And that's the desire. The heart of the unbeliever is, we know Yahweh knows best, right? We know that. So we might think we're asking for a fish, but really it's a snake, right? And so the Father, Yahshua, said, what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he think it's a serpent? Will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? You know, example. A man thinks this particular woman would be a perfect wife. He can't imagine why she would not be perfect for him. Everything he can possibly think of, she would be the one. And same thing, a young woman may think, this man would be the perfect husband. But Yahweh's saying no. Why? They fit everything, everything. Fast forward 10 years. That man falls away, gets hooked on drugs, goes a completely different direction. He was going to abuse your children, and maybe he had a secret desire for abusing your children you didn't know about. You see, don't trust yourself. Trust Yahweh. Trust Yahweh. What you think and what he thinks, his ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He knows the end from the beginning. Okay? Because Yahweh, he is a sun, he is a shield. Yahweh will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. We just have to really trust that he knows what's good. So yes, Yahweh will give us the desires of our heart as we delight in him. That's a promise. We can trust in it. We have to have a full understanding of what that really means. And when we do, we can think of this promise often when we speak our prayers as life events unfold. And we'll find out not one, not even one good promise will fail. When we pray like Yahshua prayed. Not my will. Your will be done. If all my will, I'll mess everything up. Now, if even Yahshua, the Messiah, the most perfect man that ever walked the earth, had to go, not my will, your will be done. How about you? You think you're better than him? You think you're better than him? No, you're not. So, we delight to see his will being accomplished. And we pray. Yes, we don't stop praying. Because Yahweh wants you to pray. He wants you to talk to him. He wants to be in relationship with you. He wants you to speak with him. He wants to hear your request. And he wants to accommodate your request. If it's not good for you, he won't. But he knows what is. He knows what isn't. And if you don't ask, you might be missing out on a lot of things you could have, a lot of good things. So you do ask. So listen. We want His kingdom to come. We want His will to be done. And we trust that will is what's best for us. And it's okay that we express our own. And many times He will accommodate for us. But only if it's good for us. And really, only He knows that. So, as we delight in Him, by honoring Him and desiring to do His will, He will give us the desires of our hearts. Check out all those scriptures. We've read most of those. You'll see it's true. Another promise. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves. The "with him" there is added, but that's what's meant. Now, to understand this promise, we have to see it once again with a spiritual mind. Yahweh's word is spirit. It is life. And so you're to understand it. You've got to understand it with a spiritual mind. That there is a harvest of joy that is coming, and sometimes will come in our own life. But the promise is related, actually, to the previous promise in this segment. Remember the prophecy Yahshua gave earlier? Part of delighting ourselves in Him, delight or to do your will, Elohim, is proclaiming His good news and not hiding His righteousness in our heart, but declaring His faithfulness and His salvation and not concealing His loving kindness and His truth. See that Yahshua reaped joy. He's in the presence of Yahweh. He reaped joy. But He did so by sowing the spiritual seeds in His heart. So Yahweh fills your heart with seeds. That seed bears fruit. That fruit has seeds in it. You scatter that seed to others. They then receive that seed into their hearts. That seed grows and bears fruit. The seeds in that fruit then are carried to others, and that's how the garden of Yahweh is built. But the word is the seed, and we'll see that here in a minute. But there are two things here, proclaiming the good news and also the Torah. The Torah is in his heart, and faithfulness, salvation, his truth. And so this is the believer. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who do two things. One, they keep the commandments of Elohim. And two, the faith of Yahshua. So they have the Torah in their heart, and they have the faith of Messiah, Yahshua, with them. Both. And since we say we abide in Yahshua, and we want to walk as He walked, then we will do what He did. We'll proclaim the good news of righteousness. Right? And we'll also have the Torah in our heart, the law in our heart. And we'll proclaim His loving kindness, His faithfulness to others. We will scatter that seed to others. And so, it's kind of related to the previous promise. We who honor Yahweh will be honored and rewarded by Him. So the promise is that we will reap in joy. We sow sometimes in tears. We'll reap in joy. The joy is seen here. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. That's something to rejoice about. But we got to understand this. The joy that we're promised, the rejoicing that we're promised, is simply being in the presence of the Most High. It says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. Never a dull moment. Never an unhappy moment. Nothing but joy. Almost seems exhausting to our flesh because we can only handle so much of it. But we'll have a different body, a different mind, we'll be spiritual bodies at that point. And there won't be any moment we lack joy at all times. Imagine that. And at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. All the pleasure this world's seeking, there's nothing compared. Yahweh is the one that created the concept of pleasure in our bodies. I mean, he created our bodies to have pleasure in certain things, right? And so the one who created pleasure, who created joy, knows very well how to give it. Yeah, definitely knows how to give it, right? And all the things, all the pleasure that people are seeking pale in comparison to the pleasure that he will give us in that final day. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, he will present you faultless with exceeding joy. To Elohim, our Savior, to who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And so what's it saying here? It's saying you sow in tears, you reap in joy. Let me tell you something that happens when you start scattering that seed, okay? Now you have a target on your back. You have a target. Yeah, you are a marked man at that point. The enemy hates Yahweh's word with a passion, and he hates anyone who does anything to scatter it and to share it. And so he will do everything he's allowed to do to discredit you, to turn people's hearts against you, to inspire people to accuse you falsely, to discourage you from doing what you're doing. See, he don't have to totally take you out of the kingdom. He just has to discourage you from allowing others to come in. And he's not totally satisfied with that. But he's a lot happier that you're just keeping your salvation to yourself and you don't share anybody else so nobody else can get saved. You know, consider the example of Paul. Yeshua told him, I'm going to show him how many things he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake. Suffer? Suffer? Yeah, suffer. It's part of living life in ministry. We talked about it last week. Those who share the word of Yahweh, though, you're at the tip of the spear. And you get the brunt of most of the persecution. But we don't lose heart. Paul says we don't lose heart. Even though our outward man's perishing, the inward man is being renewed every day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look for the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For things which are seen are just temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. And so we may have moments of sorrow. But in that sorrow, we actually can have joy in that sorrow. Because we know we who sow in these tears will reap in joy. Yahshua says, blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and revile you and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner as your father did the prophet. Imagine that. People are casting your name as evil. And you're over here leaping for joy. Woohoo! Chalk one up for me. I'll take it. I've actually done that a number of times. I actually have. Really have. He said do it, so might as well. He must know something we don't know. He came from the most place of highest form of pleasure, highest form of joy. And every time someone tries to knock you down for leading people to that place, man, he says, leap for joy because your reward is great. We can't fathom it. You know, our five senses only can experience a certain limit of joy. But he knows everything. So it's probably more like, I've shared this many times, try to explain to someone who all they ate their whole life was corn mush. Try to explain to them what ice cream tastes like. They're not going to get it. What are you talking about, ice cream? What's ice cream? It's no big deal. And to an unbeliever, explain to them the joy that's in us. They can't understand it. The peace that we have. They can't understand that if they've never had it before. But it's just really good. And if you taste the ice cream, Mr. Corn Mush Eater, you'd probably leap for joy. So, So the point is, those who sow in tears will reap in joy, right? So, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Goes with it sometimes. So why does it say this? You sow in tears, you reap in joy. What does that mean? Oh, don't worry. Beloved, listen, he's saying, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial. Remember, we read this last week. As if some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent you partake of Messiah's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. For if you're reproached for the name of Messiah, blessed are you. If you're reproached because of Yahshua, you are blessed. And because of his name, Yahshua, you are blessed. For the spirit of glory at Elohim rests upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed. On your part, he's glorified. Now, sometimes you sow in tears, but you reap in joy. And the joy is even in this life, really. It really is. Paul wrote the Thessalonians and he said, what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Master Yahshua at his coming? For you are our glory and our joy. And John said, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. There's no greater joy he has in this life than to hear his children walking in the truth. And so it's a joyful thing when you get to share the word of Yahweh and watch it transform the life of other people. I love to watch the light go on. I do. I love to see it go on. It's beautiful. Because I know what it's done for me. And I know what's been done to me that Yahweh wants to do for others. And it's a joyful thing. But you know, even if some don't receive it, we can even rejoice in the persecution that we get. Look what happened in Acts chapter 5, verse 40. It says, when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Yahshua, let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Whoa, imagine that. You have to be counted worthy to suffer shame for him. Not everybody gets to do that. But you have to be counted worthy to suffer for him. That was their mentality. That was their belief. That's how they saw it. Acts 13, the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent men, women and men, and chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them, kicked them out of the region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with bitterness and angry that they got kicked out? No, filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So even when you're persecuted and hated, you count it all joy. Right? That doesn't mean there aren't moments of weeping, because there are. Philippians 3:18 says, for many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you, even weeping. They are the enemies of the staros, the tree, stake of Messiah, whose end is destruction. And their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame. You ever seen that? Someone's glory is in their shame. You see that on certain websites nowadays. It's supposed to be shameful that you're naked, but their glory is in it. And set their mind on earthly things. And he weeps over this. They've chosen the wrong mighty one. Sad. And then Romans 9:1 says, I tell you the truth in Messiah, I'm not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Messiah for my brethren, his fellow Jewish men, fellow Jewish brothers, my countrymen according to the flesh, they're Israelites, they to whom they pertains the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of Elohim, and all the promises. But they're rejecting it, and it just grieved Paul so much. It grieved him. And so while we grieve over the ones who don't hear, and you should, we rejoice in the ones who do, and we should, right? And so while we have sorrow in this age, we also have reasons to be rejoicing in this age also. And we rejoice in this too. I love this scripture. We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. We're always carrying about in our bodies this dying of the Master Yahshua. Why? So that the life of Yahshua may be manifested in our body. The fact that we get knocked down and hard-pressed and we're not destroyed, we're persecuted, we're not forsaken, that manifests a living Savior in us. They cannot defeat. They'll ask, why is he still doing what he's doing? Why is he still standing? Why is he still doing what he does? He has been, oh man, I'm starting to feel bad for the way I treated the guy. Oh, that's what's supposed to happen. When you don't respond with hate, you respond in love, you still serve, that manifests the life of Yahshua, who loved us when we weren't being very loving to him. That's why we suffer, to manifest his life, to show forth what he is all about. And so he allows us to suffer, that in our suffering, people see the life of Yahshua, the Messiah, who didn't revile in return, who didn't hate in return. He blessed, he loved, loved, loved. That's our job, to show his life. And so, yeah, we'll sow in tears sometimes. We'll grieve over the ones that don't believe. We'll grieve over the distresses that people want to inflict on us because they reject the word of Yahweh. But we know there's a joy set before us. And that's what this whole Promises of Yahweh series is all about. Now, you might think, oh, you know, that's, I understand, Paul, whew, man, he went through all kinds of stuff, you know. These guys, they devoted the whole life to full-time ministry. And so, they're going to get these things, but, you know, people like me, I'm just a regular guy, you know. Yeah, that's the Catholic model. There's the experts up on the, you know, up front doing all the ministry stuff, and then the people in the pews and the people sitting in the chairs, they don't do anything except get served, and people come in and pay their money, you know, pay the money to the priests and their prophets and the popes or whatever you want to call them. And that's how it works. You pay, and you get served. And that's how people, their mentality is. You go to a plumber, you get your plumbing fixed. You go to the pastor, he fixes your spiritual life, you know, and check off the box, you know. Wrong mindset, brothers and sisters. Catholics might say, hey, we're the experts. Don't try us at home. We know what we're doing. We'll tell you what the scripture says. We'll tell you what to do. Don't bother looking at scriptures, because we're better than Scripture. Church tradition is on par with Scripture and can cancel Scripture. It can pull the fourth commandment out of the Ten Commandments and put Sunday right in there. Wrong. Wrong, wrong, 1,000 times wrong. Everybody has a personal relationship with the Father that doesn't go through anybody else. There won't be anybody else on Judgment Day going, I think he should let him in. He'll let him in. And Yahweh goes, okay, sir. Yes, sir. I'll let him in. Doesn't work that way. Nope. All of us have talents. Remember, Matthew chapter 25, very important chapter. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. And he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. See, there's the joy. Reap in joy. He who had received 2 talents came and said, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. And look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy, the presence of Yahweh, of your master. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the sand, in the ground. Look, you have what's yours. His master answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew I reap where I have not sown, you gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and in my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him, and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to every one who has, more will be given. He who have, he will have in abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Better use your talent, right? Better use it. Very, very important. Those who are faithful over the few things were entering into the joy of the master. What a terrible demise for those who don't bother to be used at all in ministry with what Yahweh has given them. Why such a harsh punishment? Why so harsh? Well, they're failing to love. The world around them is, as they say, going to hell in a handbasket, and they don't care. Keep your salvation to themselves and not share. Don't care to share. Don't care about other people. Just care about themselves. I love these quotes. One's by Leonard Ravenhill. Could a mariner sit idle if he heard a drowning cry? Could a doctor sit in comfort and just let his patients die? Could a fireman sit idle, let men burn, and give no hand? Can you sit at ease and see on with the world around you damned? Sit at ease. Take it easy. Live your little cushy life. Can't do that. Can't do that. If you see a bomb underneath someone's car, you're going to go, oh, I don't want to offend them. You know, you could be coming up to their window, there's a bomb under your car. They're like, oh, you know, you're being awful rude. You try to tell them, they don't listen, and bomb goes off. What if you didn't tell them at all? What if they listen? They go, oh, really? Okay, let me get out of here. You saved their life, right? You can't be afraid to tell people. Can't be afraid. In fact, another quote by Spurgeon. He says, have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you're not saved yourself. Be sure of that. Because you don't love. You don't love others enough to tell them they're going the wrong way. That's what Yahshua is getting at here in Matthew 25. And the very next script, very next thing he says is this. The very next thing. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. That's spiritual food, not just physical food, brothers and sisters. There are people out there starving spiritually, and we're called to give them not just the physical, but also the spiritual. I was thirsty. You gave me drink. They need to drink from the fountain of life, the water of life. I was a stranger. You took me in. They're not believers. You love them anyway. I was naked and you clothed me. They do not have the robe of righteousness on them. That comes from Yahshua. They're sick and you visited me. Their mind is not thinking right. They're sick because they're carnally minded. That sick prayer I told you about earlier. I was in prison and you came to me. Not just a physical prison, but there are people who are slaves to sin. And you came to me, he said. Came to Yahshua, he says. The righteous will answer him, said, Master, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty or give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to him, as surely as I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You've done it unto me. As believers, you might say, well, that person, he's on drugs, he's on this, he's all messed up, he's in prison, he's not Yahshua. How do you know? How do you know? Were you Yahshua when you were in your sins? But you became him, didn't you? That's what Yahshua is talking about. The least of these. The least of these. And so he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy. You've sown, and now you reap. Right? Another parable, Luke 19:12. A certain nobleman went to a far country to receive himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business until I come. But his citizens hated him, sent a delegation after him, saying, we'll not have this man to reign over us. And so it was, when he returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded the servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much each man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. He said, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in little, have authority over 10 cities. Ruler over many things. There's actually a scripture that says we will rule. We will rule. I saw thrones. They sat on them. Judgment was committed to them. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Yahshua and for the word of Elohim, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Messiah for 1,000 years. Lived and reigned with him. So we will be rulers. It looks like we're going to be given cities. Cities on the earth will be given. And that will be our role in this 1,000-year reign of Yahshua. And so we are on this earth for a greater purpose than just to live, make money, and die. Believe me. There's a greater purpose than that. When Yahshua, after he resurrected, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples. The word disciple means taught one. Of all nations, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're going to do that again this afternoon. Teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. That's what the teaching is. To make taught ones, make disciples, teaching them to observe all things that Yahshua commanded. And we do that, he is with us always, even to the end of the age. And so he's talking to us here. We're at the end of the age. He's with us as we do these things. Yahshua was anointed to be king, and now he rules and reigns over the earth. But he's giving us the option, whether we want him to rule over us or not. Those who want him to rule over us now will have the inheritance, the eternal life, and we will rule and reign with him in the age to come. But Yahshua came to proclaim a kingdom. It says, behold, a kingdom. Repent, repent, turn away from sin, because the kingdom is at hand. This is what he was doing. There's a kingdom of Yahweh. We should proclaim this kingdom. When they believe Philip as he preached them concerning what? The kingdom of Elohim and the name of Yahshua the Messiah, both men and women are baptized. The kingdom. Paul, he went synagogue, spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning, persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of Elohim. Acts 28, verse 30, Paul dwelt two whole years in his own house, rented house, received all who came to him, preaching what? The kingdom of Elohim and teaching the things which concern the Master Yahshua, Messiah, with all confidence, no one forbidding him. And so in Messiah Yahshua, we have a purpose in this new creation, and that's to proclaim a kingdom. Every kingdom has a king. The word kingdom comes from king, dominion. Every kingdom has an area of dominion. Where he wants to have dominion right now? Our hearts. Our hearts. And the hearts of people around us. Because Satan already has their hearts. There's nobody in the middle. Like, some are with Yahweh, some are with Satan, and some are just somewhere in the middle. No. You're either on one or you're on the other. You're not nowhere. There is no in-between. There's no cheerleaders in this game. You're on one side or you're on the other. And he who's not with him is already against him. Yahshua said that. We see things around us not going according to his kingdom. Our goal is to take that for Yahweh. That's our goal. That's what happened to this theater. This theater is proclaiming a different kingdom since 1955. We bought it in 2018, and now it's preaching Yahweh's kingdom. We took dominion, not by our own strength, but by his provision. This is Yahweh's theater. This is Yahweh's place. This is his place where the word's going to go out. He wants to take ground in other places, not just Ava, Missouri. And so when you see something going wrong, something's not right, something's amiss, you should have this goal to rise up to the challenge and find some way to bring the king into that place. Whether it's someone's heart or someone's place of business or whatever it might be, rip ground away from the enemy and give it to Yahweh, not by force, but by reasoning, by manifesting the example of Yahshua the Messiah. And by that, we actually subdue the earth. That was Adam's created purpose. Go out and subdue the earth, he says. When we take ground for Yahweh, we are subduing the earth. That's our new created purpose in Messiah Yahshua, is to subdue the earth. We're not sitting here in a glass case and saying, oh, look at this wonderful believer. No, believers are active. I mean, 12 men turned the world upside down. He don't need a big group. 12 men turned the world upside down. So every time you sow a seed, when you sow a seed, something's happening. You are working together with Yahweh. What I mean by sowing a seed, I mean sharing his word with others. You are working together with Yahweh to destroy the enemy in his territory. Every time you present a biblical worldview to someone who's sold out on the enemy's worldview, you are doing damage to the enemy. You are taking up the sword of Yahweh and you are cutting the thorns out of that person's heart. And your creative purpose is to allow that seed to be sown in that place for that seed to grow. Now, Yahweh makes it grow, not you. You sow it, someone might water it, but he makes it grow. Now, little by little, you engage the culture you live in, you present the word of Yahweh to them, and you are doing damage to Satan's kingdom and bringing the earth and all its inhabitants into a willing subjection to Yahshua the King. That's what you're doing. Not through force, not through control, that's the enemy's way of doing things, but by the power of his Holy Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. The power found in the word of Yahweh. So in that way, we are fulfilling our created purpose. Yahweh put Adam in the garden. He put us in the garden too. He put us in the garden also. And when we do these things, the most powerful being in the universe is on your side. You don't have to wonder. You're not alone. He said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Yahweh Most High is awesome. He is a great king over the earth, over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. The ones that don't want to listen, they will not be above us or equal to us. They will be under us. Their choice. Their choice. So our life is not about getting to the kingdom, it's about offering the kingdom to those who don't have the kingdom in their hearts already. Those who have not given Yahshua the reins, those who have not allowed him to take control of their life. And by the power and the Spirit of Yahweh, we take back ground given to the enemy, because this is our earth, not theirs. We inherit the earth, not them, right? You think that Yahweh gave this earth to people to ruin it and to sin on it and to hate on it? No, he gave it for it to be people to love on it, to care about each other, to proclaim the praises of the one who made it. And we are one of the few people on this planet who fully understand what that kingdom really is all about. What is that kingdom about? Listen, Christianity says no to the commandments, the Torah, the law. Judaism says no to the Messiah. We say yes to both, because both will be proclaimed on the day he returns. Listen, it says, this is a prophecy that has never been fulfilled. It says, come and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the Mighty One of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth what? The law. The law is still the word of Yahweh. It's still in force. People say, well, that's a new law there, Tom. That's not the old law with its Sabbath and its new moons. And oh, really? Let's read Isaiah 66 and find out what law he's talking about. For the new heavens and new earth, which I will make shall remain before me, says Yahweh, so your descendants and your name remain. It shall come to pass from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says Yahweh. A little problem there with your theology, friend. What I read here is, when the Messiah comes back, and this has never happened, that all flesh came and worshiped Yahweh, it's going to happen on the Shabbat, and it's going to happen on the new moon days. About that. This is the kingdom, brothers and sisters. This is the kingdom that we're supposed to be proclaiming to the world. And it's the one hardly anybody even knows about. And do we realize what an awesome calling that is to know this, and you're going to keep that to yourself? No. We are one of the few carriers of the fullness of the gospel, Genesis to Revelation. Genesis to Revelation. We're one of the few carriers. And you know what? We are among the few that bear the name of Yahweh. One of the few who bear the name of Yahweh. And that is a true token of authority, is his name on the earth. And we're among the few that baptize in Yahshua's name. That is not very common. And listen, too much is given. Much is required. Much is required. It's an honor. Don't take it lightly. Don't get prideful. Don't get prideful. You don't let pride come in, because he didn't give it to you, this knowledge, because you're so great. Yahweh gives, but Yahweh can take away too. With judgment we judge, we can be judged. So don't be prideful. Just be thankful. With 1,000 songs of thanksgiving. So we, as believers, we're willing to line up our life's mission with His life's mission and share the seed of His word with everyone who will hear. Not everybody will listen. Yahweh, He's well pleased for His righteousness. It's a prophecy of the coming Messiah. He will exalt the law and make it honorable. What have people done today? Toss it aside in favor of traditions. Toss it aside in favor of their own laws. And so this is a people that are robbed and they're plundered, and all of them are snared in holes and hidden in the prison houses, church walls, synagogue walls. They're for a prey. No one delivers. No one says, hey, restore. We're going to say restore. 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 In fact, we're going to sow that word. And we're going to carry it with us wherever we go. Don't worry about the soil. Yahweh knows some of the soil won't be good soil. Some of it will be good soil, some of it won't. But you sow the word of Yahweh. The parable is this. The seed is the word of Elohim. And those by the wayside, the seed that fell by the wayside, the devil comes and takes the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Okay. The ones on the rock are those when they hear, they receive the word with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, in time and temptation, they fall away. They've still got stony hearts. The one that fell among thorns are those who, when they've heard, go out and they're choked with the cares or riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. All right. Most of the seed does not bear fruit. The ones that does, withers away. The ones that do get choked out. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. That's who we're looking for. That's who we're looking for. The few that find it. The broad path. A lot of people go in it, but there's a few that find it. So don't be discouraged by the times when there's thorns and the times when there's rocks and not on the right place. Look for the good soil. People will come and go, but you're looking for the good soil to sow the seed. And so don't hide your lamp. When he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, he sets it on the lampstand, let those who enter may see the light. And so share the light. Be a light. Don't hide yourself. Be a light. In the end, all the persecution, all the weeping, and all the stuff that you go through from sharing the word, it's all worth it. I love this scripture. 2 Corinthians, we're going to close with this one right here. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of Elohim, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes and imprisonments, in tumults and labors, in sleeplessness and fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love. By the word of truth, by the power of Elohim, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers, yet true, as unknown, yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Now I have a full study on part of what I just shared today. Right here. Thy kingdom come. Eliad.com/kingdom. And so we'll close out with our final promise. Those who sow the word of Yahweh in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves. May our sheaves be plenty. Let's pray. Almighty Yahweh, in Yahshua HaMashiach, in him alone we come to you, knowing that you are the mighty one of Israel, and you have made us Israel. As we join to the body of Messiah, the Israelite, we pray that you would inspire everyone in the sound of my voice to bear seed for sowing, that they might bring in the sheaves on that final day. Only you know right now how many sheaves that we will bring into the kingdom. The sheaves of wheat that bear seed, that then sow into others' hearts and then bear more seed and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. And we pray also, Father, that you will let our desires be holy desires, righteous desires, and delight ourselves in you by keeping holy your day, by honoring you, not doing our own ways, or seeking our own ways, or our own words, our own paths, our own pleasures, but drawing near to you. For truly we know, in Messiah Yahshua we have salvation. As we turn our hearts to you and turn our hearts away from sin and toward righteousness and receive Messiah Yahshua into our hearts, we have eternal life. And then you're at your right hand, in your presence, there is pleasure and joy forevermore. Until then, Father, keep us strong and help us to proclaim your kingdom to all in the sound of our voices. For truly yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Yahshua's great name we pray. Amen.